States live. Expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. It is November. It is 2 days before the presidential election. Thanks for joining us on the show. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I just want to give a little shout-out for next Sunday. We are doing one of our annual tax shows. There is so much going on in the world of tax. Next week, we're going to have our enrolled agent tax experts in the studio with us to talk to you about how possible changes across the spectrum. We'll already know who wins the election by next Sunday. I hope so, anyway. And that's my expectation, that we will understand this. And so whoever wins, there is going to be a huge rollout of tax changes across the board. And I think that there's just so much on the plate coming up that the uncertainty is really astonishing. So next week, we are going to do the first of what I think will be probably two or three tax shows before the end of the year so that you can make smart decisions for your money regarding taxes. Today, I want to talk about Superstorm Sandy, and I want to start by expressing my condolences and sympathies for everybody in the Eastern Seaboard. And I know you probably have family and friends and people you know. Maybe you had a second home on the coast. Absolutely astonishing numbers. A total of nearly 284,000 residential properties valued at roughly $88 billion were at risk for damage after the storm, according to CoreLogic, which is the housing research firm. $88 billion. There was so much damage in some communities, just wiped away. I've been looking, it's nice, it's great that the power has come back on in most of Manhattan, but Staten Island, parts of New Jersey, it's a wreck. It is a wreck, and parts of Long Island are just devastated. And so it is incredible to me that we have seen such devastation so far north from a superstorm, was a hurricane. I guess for insurance purposes, they're saying that it was not a hurricane when it landed, which is good because that means that hurricane exclusions on property casualty insurance, which could total 3-5% of the value of the home before as a deductible, a different deductible than you would normally have, will not kick in. But there are so many people who do not have flood insurance, and this is flood, rising tide of water. Go back to your insurance policies. We talk about this every year in Georgia when the big rains come. You know, the 18 insurers, you know, Kirk Milich gets all, you know, up in arms about it, as rightly he should. We talk about how insurance, how your typical homeowner's policy does not cover rising tides of water. And everybody forgets that year in and year out. And so many people do not have flood insurance, which you can buy directly from flood.gov, floodsmart.gov. There's been incredible devastation, incredible. I saw some reports this week that we may see 0.5% of GDP knocked off by Superstorm Sandy. Now, then you hear the other side, well, this is going to be great for the rebuilding industry. We're going to renovate and rebuild, and that's going to be money and all the rest. It is, except that money is being redistributed, and people who don't have flood insurance, whose homeowners policies will not cover this, right? You'd have to prove that the wind ripped off the roof and then your house flooded to probably get coverage. And who's going to get that, right? Not with a 14-foot wall of water that's sweeping through. So many people will lose everything. There will be billions of dollars in damage, $60 billion, $80 billion, I heard even $110 billion of damage. We're talking about real money. We're talking about real money, and we're talking about real lives, and my heart just goes out to everybody out there who is suffering, whose lights are still off, whose home has been destroyed, who has nowhere to go. We now have voting this week, and I just read this morning that for boroughs that were hardest hit and neighborhoods that are no longer there, there will be online voting, if you can get online. A lot of people are like, how am I going to even get online? It's just really frustrating and damaging, and whatever you can do to help, I encourage you to do that. Lots of things to talk about this week. 404-872-0750 is our number. I want to take some questions. Don't forget, next week we're going to do taxes. So this week we won't talk about taxes that much, maybe just a little bit in sort of the larger picture of what's going on. But next week we are definitely going to talk tax with our tax experts, and I do want to do that. Right now, while you guys are all calling in, because lines are open, 404-872-0750, I want to talk for a minute about the election on Tuesday. So first of all, go out and vote. I don't really care who you vote for. Just go out and vote. It's so important to exercise this right and not to say, oh, Georgia's going to go one way or the other. It doesn't really matter what I do. Every single vote counts. Everybody, it's not just the presidential election. You're voting for all kinds of people all the way down the line. In Chicago, where I vote, there are all kinds of judges that we have to vote for this time. There are all kinds of our congressman is up for election or re-election. There's a very closely contested race there. There are some very, very closely contested races that aren't the presidential race. There's so many other things to express an opinion on. I want you to go out and make sure that you take the time on Tuesday to vote. It's the first thing I do. I always love to do it because, well, every, you know, 2 years I get to see the people who are voting, and I always run into the same folks at the same time. We all have our routines. But as an American, this is one thing that you can do to be counted. And every single vote counts. So I want to encourage you to push out and do that. Now, in the broader sense, I want to talk about what's going to happen after the election, because if you've been listening to the show, you know that I think that no matter who wins the presidential election, we are in for big changes and big trouble next year. And I'm not the only one who thinks this. Republican or Democrat, we're going to have split House and Senate, and that is going to cause gridlock no matter who's in the top job. And it is really important to think about it. Very important to understand that no matter who gets in there, it's going to make a difference. So I want you to think about what next year is going to look like for you. First of all, let's think about it in terms of mortgage interest rates, right? Mortgage interest rates are incredibly low. My good friend Ellen told me this morning that she just got a quote for a refinance, a cash out refinance, which is so hard to get. 3.5%. Now, she has a lot of equity in her house, and she makes plenty of income. 3.5%. And her question for me this morning, and you just think it's because you guys call in, right? I get these questions all the time from everybody I know. She said, what do you think I should do? Should I take an extra $10,000? It'll cost me $45 a month. Or should I not take out the, you know, the extra $10,000? And I said, Ellen, it's 3.5%. You're already in for the closing costs. It's an extra $45 a month. Take the 10 grand. There's no way interest rates can go down much below where they are. I mean, it's just physically impossible. If it has to go down any further, it means that the government is now paying all of us money to borrow money. 3.5%, 15-year loan, cash out refinance, almost nothing in closing costs. That's her trade-off, was a little bit higher interest rate for the closing cost. Great. I think it's a 30-year. It's not a 15-year. It's a 30-year that she's going to pay off in 15 years. Absolutely incredible. Take the money, because even though you're earning 0.5%, if that, in your savings account, in a very short period of time, we're going to see interest rates start to move. It is wildly uncertain. But just at the Mortgage Bankers Conference this week, past week in Chicago, the mortgage bankers were very, very worried about the increased regulation that is coming down the pike. No matter who gets elected, there will be more regulation in the mortgage market. They predict 20% fewer people will qualify for mortgages. That could translate into 3 million fewer housing starts over the next few years. Think about that. We're not even back to where we should be in a normal market for existing home sales, and now we could have 20% fewer people being able to qualify for their homes. That is coming down the pike next year, and all of that has a ripple effect. All of that makes a difference in your pocketbook, because you're either the person who's borrowing or you're the person who is part of that food chain or that ecosystem. Or maybe you're the shop owner down the street who benefits when somebody buys a house and then they have to go buy paint. And maybe you own the store where they buy the paint. There are so many people who are involved in the real estate ecosystem. It's a massive industry. And it's everybody from people who build new housing to people who lend on the housing to people who, you know, stage the house so it can sell. Everybody's got a little piece of that. And it is really going to be interesting once we see who gets elected. And all of it will factor into GDP. All of it. So I keep saying to you, we have tougher times coming again, and I firmly believe it. The question is, how bad are they going to be? 404-872-0750. Jason joins us on the line from Atlanta. You've got a question for me about the Red Cross, Jason?
Yeah, well, not necessarily the Red Cross, but all these relief agencies that pop up after these terrible events occur.
Mm-hmm.
In Haiti, for example, we had that awful earthquake. Everyone in America just dug deep and gave so much money. And when you look at the situation now there, you say, well, wow, where'd all the money go? and so when you start talking about during lean times to reach into your pocketbook because you want to help the people of New York, are you kidding me? I'm not trusting any of them with my money. I'd rather load a truck and carry it up here from Atlanta than trust those folks with my money. And I know that sounds very selfish, but every time it's the same way, and it's like, wait a minute, the people are still suffering. But all this money, where did it go?
So you're not, I don't think you sound selfish at all, Jason. I think you sound incredibly compassionate. You do sound skeptical, and as a journalist, I can relate completely. But, you know, sometimes, and Haiti's a good example, and I actually have a friend who's a videographer for Fox News, and she was in Haiti. She was one of the first people in Haiti, and she's been back a couple of times to shoot for Fox. And she said, what we can't even imagine here, you know, when you sit in your homes, you just can't even imagine how far and how deep the devastation goes. So $100 million might build some things. And yes, I'm sure some of that is payoff and patronage, Haiti style, right? Because that's just how some countries
work. I'm
just
saying, you could have gave every survivor $1 million and said move.
Well, I don't think there was that. I don't know that you could have done that, actually.
Maybe to that not to that extreme, but certainly you could have given them all an amount of money.
But where would they move to? They live in Haiti. Haiti itself is a country, is a third world, very poor country, without sewage and without schools and all the rest.
As opposed to repairing from a hurricane.
I think, I'm not down there, so I can't tell you. I can tell you that organizations like the Red Cross are a better bet than all the scam organizations that kind of spring up afterwards, which we, you know, Clark Howard and I go on the air and we warn you against donating to, right? If you're going to give money, give to a place that's known.
Right, it's a cost for every charity. It's an administrative cost. And
yeah.
If that administrative cost is going over 15-20%, really 5-10%, in my opinion, I think it's not a charity at all.
Well,
I want to provide jobs for people.
Listen, you can look up and see what the administrative costs are, and I agree with you. The Jewish Federation operates at a 4% margin. It's, I think, the lowest of any of them. So I agree with you completely. You want to go to the place where your money is going to have the most profound effect.
I want my dollars coming from Atlanta in love going to directly the people that need it the most, not to a bureaucracy or a aristocracy, or however you want to put it.
Okay, fair enough. Do you have an idea for everybody? Because I,
No, I don't. I was actually quite hoping that you did.
I don't, because I, you know, unless you're going to fly in and go to Staten Island and start waving 20s around, I don't know. They don't want food. It would be impossible for you to get to Staten Island with a truck of food right now. So I feel the need, but I almost think that you're better off filling the truck with food and delivering it to a food pantry in Atlanta, where it will, 100% of what you're doing will go there. There are organizations like the Greater Chicago Food Depository, and I don't know what they are specifically for New York, but it's sort of similar, where I think they also have like an under 5% cost ratio. Where
now you've helped me out quite a bit. Thank you very much, Annette.
Wow.
The reason being is the direct aid is what I'm interested in.
Yeah. Well, direct aid is incredibly important, and your passion speaks to what all of us are feeling, which is really lousy for everybody on the Eastern Seaboard. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. Be back in just a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Klink Show. Thanks for joining us today here on News Talk WSB. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. We live tweet during these shows at Glink, at GLINK. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy, sponsored by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, and it's been a great show again.
Thank you. So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about doing showings during the holiday, and we've talked in the past week or two about decorating during the holidays. And it occurs to me that, you know, with all this time off, everybody's got company, and you've got people staying with you maybe. How do you advise people to walk that fine line between wanting to draw some of their own personal boundaries around having family in for the holidays and this need to, like, get everybody out so you can sell your house?
Well, I think we have to go back to a buyer wants to be happy in a house. They want the A-OK. They want to feel like people are enjoying the home that they're going to buy. And so I think you, as a seller, look at it and say, well, do I really need to sell? Do I really want to sell? And just be carefree about it, you know? So what if there's a couple suitcases in the way or people are hanging out, you know, and you have to get them out? That's okay. People, if you explain it to a buyer or an agent who's calling, you say, hey, listen, we've got a lot of family in town. We're really enjoying our time. We'd love to have you come over and see the property. Just please don't think that this is a normal situation for us. But please, come on, the more the merrier, right? And maybe sharing some of your festivities with these people. Again, the more you appear as if you're happy in your home, and the only reason you're leaving is maybe you got relocated or you're downsizing or you're upsizing, people like that. They want to be a part of happiness. So I say you set your own boundaries at your own pace, but you don't need to stress about it. You don't need to make your house an A-plus every time it's shown. You just need to make it available for people to experience your home. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. I mean, you don't really want to leave dirty underwear on the floor.
No.
I mean, they don't really want to experience that part of it, right?
Right. But, you know, you can casually clean up. I tell even people who aren't selling in the seasons, you know, you don't need to stress out every time you've got a showing. People understand that people are living, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that people do cause themselves stress, and as a result, they miss opportunities.
Well, we don't want anybody to miss an opportunity to sell, especially when sales are going up. Real Estate Insight is brought to you each week by Duffy Realty of Atlanta.
Now, wait. I'm going to post stuff about this.
I was going to say.
RhondaDuffy.com.
It's a blog. It's a blog post for sure. RhondaDuffy.com. Rhonda, thanks so much.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We will be back in a flash with more of the Elise Klink Show here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour, 12:37. I'm Elise Glade. Thanks for joining me today on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I neglected completely to tell you about the website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you aren't following me on Twitter, you're already missing more than half the conversation. So I started tweeting before the show today. We're very active on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at GLINK. And we've been pushing it out, doing all kinds of stuff. So would love to have you follow me. If you follow me, then you get all kinds of cool ex parte conversations going on and lots of other kinds of things that we tweet out. Excuse me, constantly fighting the winter cold. So we'd love for you to do that, at Glink, at GLINK. And, of course, the free weekly newsletter at thinkglink.com. Leads you to all kinds of places like the Equifax Finance blog and my blog over at Yahoo Homes, and, of course, CBS News. So that's kind of what's going on there. Let's go to the phones right now. 404-872-0750. Lines are open. We would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you. Pick up the phone and call me. Today's the day. We want to get all your questions answered. Suzanne joins us on the line from Sandy Springs. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Elise. Thank you for taking my call.
You're more than welcome. What can I do for you today?
I have a question. I was reading information regarding the HomeSafe Georgia program.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's been around, I believe, since 2008. Is that correct?
At least. I think it's at least since then, but it's changed a little bit, right? So there are different things now than there were. There are, for example, beginning June 26th of this year, there's a new request for qualifications, and, you know, there's different things that you have to do. But, yes, the program itself has been around. It's now linked to the hardest hit program. So the hardest hit program is, and I was just reading this morning, what was that? It's, I mean, it's just billions of dollars that the federal government has set aside for people who have been hit the hardest in the recession and are having terrible trouble kind of coming back to where they can be equal again on their mortgage, at least paying. But to qualify for the HomeSafe Georgia program, 90 days behind on your mortgage. Is that you?
No.
Okay.
I have read, I've gone through the website earlier today, and I'm looking, it looks as if I am eligible in all categories.
Okay.
It says you cannot be behind on your mortgage payment, or you can't be behind more than 30 days.
For HomeSafe Georgia. Right. I misspoke. That's correct.
Okay. My question, I guess, is what are the chances of being eligible for this program? Because I know in the past some people that had qualified, granted it could have been under different qualifications, did not qualify for the program. But what are the chances now if you do follow within those guidelines of all the, you know, what
All right, so I'm looking at the flyer. Did you look at the green and black and white flyer? Is that what you looked at? There's a PDF. So according to this, it says you're unemployed or underemployed. Is that you?
Correct. Yeah, okay. I do actually have that printed out.
Okay, and you're a legal U.S. resident. You own your property, primary residence.
Correct.
Your mortgage payment is greater than 25% of your monthly household income. You were current on your mortgage prior to the event where you lost income. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're current, but you have to either be current or no more than 6 months behind your mortgage at the time you apply. You said you're current, right?
Correct. As of October, yes.
As of October. Did you miss a payment for this month?
November.
November, you're going to miss.
I've got to make November's payment still.
Okay. You don't have more than $5,000 in liquid assets, but not including retirement accounts.
Correct.
Okay. You don't have an active bankruptcy or tax lien.
Correct.
You haven't been convicted of a mortgage-related felony in the last 10 years.
Correct.
That's good. And your outstanding mortgage balance isn't more than 417, which is important only because that's Fannie, Freddie, and FHA.
Correct.
Okay. So it looks to me like you would qualify. But, you know, this is the kind of crazy thing. So the applications are processed first come, first serve. There is money available for this in Georgia. So you can apply. You're not applying with your lender. You're applying to the actual, applying to the DCA.
Right, to the actual program, to their website.
To the program itself, which is run by the government.
Correct.
So will you get approved? I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't get approved, but I keep getting surprised when I say that. Why wouldn't you get approved? I think you should apply because the sooner you apply, the more money there will be left. So I think the number I saw this morning in the state of Illinois is that there was something like, for the hardest hit fund, there was still $1.5 billion left to help people in Illinois. And I'm pretty darn sure that that's left all over. And I'm trying to think about where I saw that. Oh, here it is. It's in the paper today. As of June 30th, states had spent only a limited portion of the $1.5 billion they've drawn down under the various hard-hit programs, according to the last report from the Inspector General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program. So there was $506 million of assistance provided to 58,000 homeowners, and there's still plenty left. So I think you should apply tomorrow.
Thank you.
And let me know what happens, okay?
So I will do that. I so appreciate your helping me.
I'm only opening the door for you. That's all I'm doing, Suzanne. You're going to have to walk through it, and it sounds like you're more than capable of doing that.
So, yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your help and also explaining to me the urgency to do it.
Yeah.
And how that money is allocated.
Yeah, I think sooner is really better than later with this stuff. And I say that because I don't think that Tuesday's election will change anything immediately, but I think both candidates have profound differences in how they want to help and how they believe that help should get to people. And so what I don't like is the unknown. I don't think anybody likes uncertainty. Nobody likes the unknown that's sort of hanging out there. But when I saw that the mortgage bankers at their conference in Chicago, that there's so much uncertainty for them, and they're in the industry every single day, right? They're living and breathing this, and they're uncertain.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff can only be bad for everybody else. You want the people who are making loans and lending money, you want them to be fairly certain of what they can expect so they can turn around and tell you what you can expect. And when they're not certain and they don't know what to expect, that uncertainty creates a wedge that I think is very divisive. And it's not about red and blue, right? It's about green. It's about your money.
Yes.
It's worse than red and blue. It's really about how it affects you in the pocketbook. So go tomorrow and download all these forms. It looks like you can print up on a PDF. You can just print up the forms and fill them out. And
yes,
on the website, it tells you exactly who to contact, Mary Ann Knox, and it has her email address.
I believe I saw that also. Let me go ahead. Okay.
KNOX. It's right on it's right on the homepage for it.
Okay, perfect. And I've got everything printed out, so I should have that already.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Elise.
You're welcome. Good luck, Suzanne, and call me back and let me know what happens this week. So the hardest hit fund is part of, or Home Safe Georgia, I guess, is the local, the statewide name for this, for the hardest hit fund for Georgia. The contact information, just to get everybody on the same page, and I've tweeted this out, I'm going to tweet it out again, but it's the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. So dca.ga.gov, dca.ga.gov. For everybody else who's listening, you can download the application, English or Spanish, and it talks about the hardest hit fund and the different things that you have to provide to be approved. And this is one of these places, folks, where attention to detail is key. So if you are thinking about applying for this program or even making home affordable, right, the HAMP programs or HARP, Home Affordable Refinance Program, the beauty of it is in the detail. So the detail here is if you can only have $5,000 in assets, you're going to have to show bank accounts that have all of your bank, the amounts in your bank accounts. If all that adds up to more than $5,000, you won't qualify. You'll have to show them your retirement accounts. You'll have to maybe show them your tax returns. You're going to have to show a W-2 now if your income is less, or your unemployment that you're collecting if you've lost your job entirely. So pay attention to the list of pieces of paper that they are going to want to see. Get a file folder and start putting all these things into your file folder so that when you get it all ready to go and the application is due, you'll be able to make copies of all these documents, clip them together, and provide it in exactly the way that you're going to want to do it, that they will want you to do it. So, again, all of this happens out of the Department of Community Affairs, dca.ga.gov. And what I'm going to do at this very moment while I'm on the phone with you is tweet out the actual link. So if you are interested, follow me on Twitter at Glink, at GLINK. All right, I've just tweeted that out. It's very hard to type and talk at the same time. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Lines are wide open. It's 47 minutes past the hour. I want to go back to something we were talking about just a few minutes ago, which is the mortgage bankers and how uncertain they are and how interest rates are incredibly low at the moment and what this is going to mean. So when you have the head of Wells Fargo Mortgage, Mike Hyde, talking about the ambiguity that currently exists in the marketplace and how nervous that's making all of them, you know that you have a problem, because mortgage originations are the beginning of the whole process of buying a home. When you're out there, it's great to look for a house, but for my money, if you don't know what you can afford, you have no business looking at pretty pictures on the internet, right? Pretty pictures on the internet are there for one reason alone, to seduce you into making an offer to buy the house. So if you don't know what you can afford to pay for that house, what are you going to do? There's a disconnect. There's a breakdown in what you have to do. And you have to watch out for that. Because if you look at houses that are too rich for your pocketbook, what ends up happening is you're just disappointed, profoundly disappointed in the whole process. You go get all geared up and you look at this and you're like, wow, these are the amenities I want, the room sizes, the location, the school districts, the distance to work, all the things that are on your wish list, right? There's probably a million things on your wish list. And when you start looking at property you can't afford, what happens is you fall in love with the good stuff. And then you find out you can't. And so then you start looking at what you can't afford, and you think to yourself, oh, it's so much less. It's so not what I had wanted. I really want that other neighborhood with the extra bedroom and the beautiful bathrooms and the pre-done and the garden and the this and the that. You have looked beyond your means. And that's why, for my money, you've got to figure out what you can afford first. And then and only then, once you've counted out your pennies, then you start looking at pretty pictures on the internet. All right, 404-872-0750. It is 50 minutes past the hour. When we come back, we're going to take your questions and try and help some folks out today. Stay tuned.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Thanks for listening today. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I am tweeting out all kinds of stuff. 404-872-0750. David joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, David, what's going on?
Hi, Elise. How are you today?
You know, good, good. You?
I'm doing very well. Okay, quick rundown of our situation. My wife and I moved to Atlanta about 18 months ago so I could start grad school. And we own a home that is still in Georgia, and we have renters currently. But possibly at the beginning of December, the renters will be moving out, and then we'll be subject to paying, you know, the mortgage again and our rent. And we've been getting a lot of information from different websites, different mail ads and things like that for refinance, and we just don't know really who to trust or what our best way of going about trying to help out, you know, with the bills a little bit.
So who is your lender on that house?
Chase.
All right. First thing to do is I would call Chase and ask if they're doing any refis on rental property.
Okay.
Second thing is you're going to have a lot easier time refinancing the rental property that's rented. So are you guys been looking around for renters?
Well, we have somebody in there currently.
Right, but you said December, like they may be gone.
Yeah, but they may be gone, correct. Well, that's kind of our up in the air. If we can get a refinance that, you know, hopefully saves us a good chunk of change, I think we could probably go ahead and put it back on the market, since the area that we're living in is seeing a little bit of an increase in home sales.
Okay, so let me jump in, David, and tell you that once you put the house in the market, you won't be able to refinance, so you got to close on the refinance first.
Okay.
So you're going to have to start calling around like crazy, not just to your own lender, but all of the different lenders that are out there, and try to find somebody who would be willing to refinance a rental property. It's not as easy as it sounds. Do you have any equity in the property at all?
Maybe $10,000.
$10,000. What percentage is that?
We're at 6.25%.
No, no, no.
Percentage of the whole thing.
Is it like 10% equity?
Probably a little bit less.
It's not 20% or 30%. So what you're going to have to do is shop around and see if you can get anybody to do a refinance for you. And the answer is you may not be able to. And the whole thing may be a lot easier to just up and sell and get out, you know, while you can, pretty whole. And that may be the best move for you altogether. I'm Elise Blank. Stay tuned. Be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. 6 minutes past the hour of News Talk WSB, our number 404-872-0750. If you are not following me on Twitter, you're missing half the conversation. K8 just sent me a note saying, Glink, you are so right. Things are going to get tougher, but we don't know how bad. Keep stressing that. I promise that I'm going to, for sure. @Glink, @GLINK. 404-872-0750. We're taking your calls. I want to give a shout out for Texas next week. Appointment listening, noon. Be there. We've got our enrolled agents, Bill, Mary, and Chet, coming back on the show. If you haven't listened to the show for a long time, you probably don't know this, and then our longtime listeners are probably celebrating. But as we wind down to the end of the year, we're going to have a couple of tax shows that are designed to help you navigate the uncertain world of what's going to happen post-Tuesday. There is so much attention focused on the election right now, and I'm all about what happens Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, which is when we start planning for how we're going to get out of the rest of this mess that we're in. No matter who gets elected, we are most likely going to have a split Congress, Senate and House, and getting things done is going to be extremely difficult. And forging compromise, which I would urge all of our elected representatives to put at the forefront, is going to be important. We've got a fiscal cliff to deal with on December 31st. We have real tax issues that have to be decided. We have the sunsetting of the Bush-era tax cuts. We've got an employment tax, the FICA tax, which has been sort of basically, I don't know, thrown out. And so everybody got an extra $600 or $800 this year. That's supposed to be reinstated. There are all kinds of tax issues that are coming to the forefront. How will it affect you? And the answer is, we don't know yet. But by next Sunday, we're going to start to have an idea. And we've got our tax experts coming on board. So we want you to think very carefully about what you're doing next week at noon. Noon to 2, I want you to tune in here so that you can hear what Bill, Mary, and Chet have to say. They will be taking your calls, and we will start this journey to the end of the year together, because there are certain things we know you can do to make next April 15th a whole lot easier, and there are things that are going to affect you from day one in 2013, and we're going to explore all of it, what we know and what we don't know. And I think the theme of today's show is really all the uncertainty, because there are a whole lot of people in this country who think that after Tuesday there's going to be a lot more certainty about all kinds of things. The economy, what's going to happen with mortgage interest rates, the stock market. I mean, people think that deciding who's going to be president is going to make it a more certain world. And I'm here to tell you, I don't really think that's the case at the moment. I don't think we're going to really understand where we're going to be until sometime in the middle of 2013, when we're already halfway down the road. So what we're going to try and do is provide some clarity. I hope you'll tune in. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. We'll provide some updates as we know them during the week, so that when you join me and my guests next Sunday at noon, you'll already be in your seat ready to go. 404-872-0750 is our number. Do not forget to follow me on Twitter, @Glink. You should also make sure you sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. That newsletter is your key to the ThinkGlink community. It's free. It's got loads of articles, great stuff coming down the pike. That's where we're going to be announcing all of our best deals for our next event, which we are looking at dates right now, hoping to do something in March or April. Right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of the big housing market for 2013, which we hope is going to be gangbusters. So lots of interesting things coming up. Make sure you go to thinkglink.com and sign up for the free weekly newsletter. All right, we have lots of people who want to talk. So let's go to the phones. 10 minutes past the hour. Charles joins us on the line from Athens. Charles, what's going on in your world regarding refinancing?
I'm not having a lot of luck, and my current mortgage holder is Bank of America.
Okay, why aren't you having luck? What's going on with that?
Well, I've tried to go with their hardship program, but every time I get involved with them, they keep trying to send me to a streamline refinance.
Do you have an FHA?
I do. I have a Freddie Mac loan.
Okay, Freddie Mac is not FHA.
I'm Freddie Mac.
Okay, and they want to send you to a streamlined Freddie Mac. Why is that? Is that a better program?
I'm not sure. It really don't seem to offer me the help that I'm looking for due to hardship, going through a divorce, and you know, being able to keep my home and having custody and all the good things that came out of that. But I've been struggling to make payments. But you know, what I'm understanding is I've never been late with a payment in 10 years I've been with them. And it seems like they don't want to offer somebody help that keeps making their payments, but I've been struggling every month to make the payment, so
Have you tried the Home Affordable Refinance Program, the HARP refinance?
No, ma'am.
Okay, and with hardship, are you trying to get, are you trying to actually put your payments on hold for a year? Are you trying to qualify? Maybe the problem is a linguistic one or a taxonomy, because when you say you want a hardship program, you know, we were talking earlier about the hardest hit fund. So you had there, and I read down the list of qualifications for that. So these kinds of programs, all of them have very specific qualifications. But here's the offer I'm going to make to you. Send me your complete contact information and your loan number, and I will send it to somebody at Bank of America who will make sure that there's somebody who really evaluates it.
Okay.
All right. You can find my email address at the website, thinkglink.com. It's the one I say all the time, thinkglink.com. So send me your complete contact information, your loan number. Give me a brief summary of what's been happening and why they keep trying to put you into a streamlined refinance and what you think that will or will not do for you. And I will pass that along to the higher-ups so that they actually get somebody inside their area who can look at this and help you come to some sort of understanding about if you don't qualify, why you don't qualify, and if there is some other program that you do qualify for. Okay?
Thank you for the information.
You're very welcome. Look forward to getting that email. 13 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. We've got some lines open right now. Jimmy joins us on the line. Hey, Jimmy, what's going on?
We have got, just like the previous caller, we have a loan with Bank of America.
Okay.
Interest rate is like 11.75%.
Wow, that is so high.
And we have been trying to refinance with them. We've been turned down. We tried the hardship deal with them and turned down. I'm a disabled veteran. I'm 100% disabled. I get $2,019 a month income from the VA. $838 of that goes to my wife for taking care of me, and the rest of it is mine. So out of that, we're supposed to make an $807 a month house payment. And Bank of America has just thumbed their nose at us, and we have filled out paperwork after paperwork after paperwork after paperwork.
Jimmy, this is disgraceful. It's disgraceful that you're at 11.75% and nothing can be done. So I'm going to make
you... We've never been late on the payment, sweetheart.
Well...
Never been late.
Thank you for that, and thank you for your service to this country. I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you the same offer I made Charles. Do you have access to email?
Yes, ma'am.
I want you to send me an email through my website. Give me your complete contact information, your loan amount, and describe the problem, the interest rate, and what you've been trying to do and what Bank of America has not been able to do for you. And I will make sure tomorrow morning that I forward that to my contact at Bank of America. You know, the one good thing about being a real estate reporter for all these years is I know people at all the big lenders. So
yes,
I will call and I will try to connect some dots for you. Because in an era of 3.5% on a 30-year fix, the fact that you're still paying 11.75%.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't even imagine. How much loan do you have left?
About $60,000 on a piece of property. It would probably praise out at about $106,000, even with low appraisals like they are today.
I can't understand why you just can't do a refinance, a straight-up refinance. You've got the income. You've got the equity in the property. I can't imagine that there aren't going to be about 10 lenders calling the show right now going, I could refinance him.
Well, we have tried with, you know, and we've tried anything. We just wanted to, you know, we asked them one time, could we just get $80,000 and that would take care of some credit card debt that we have, and we wouldn't have any debt except that one payment. And it was, no, we can't. You just don't qualify, blah, 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 blah.
All right.
They got me stuck in this high interest rate is what it is, and they do not want to let go of it because we've never been late.
We are going to fix this. Don't be late on your next payment. Send me all of your contact information, your loan number, what you would like to do, and we will find a way to get this done for you. It's an absolute crime that you, as a 100% disabled veteran, can't get a better answer from Bank of America. I'm sure it's just the people you've been unfortunate enough to talk to at the very lowest levels. We're gonna bump this up for you to the very highest levels, and we're gonna make sure that it happens. Do you have my website?
No, ma'am. My wife's in the house waiting on. I'm sitting outside so that it won't interfere with the radio.
The website is Think. THINK Glink GLINK .com.
Okay.
ThinkGlink.com. Go there, find it, says right at the top, ask Elise, send me an email, all the information that I need, and I will respond to you, and we will make sure that this gets forwarded to Bank of America tomorrow. 17 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I'm going to tweet out to Bank of America to let them know that people are going to be coming towards them starting tomorrow. Mike joins us on the line from Marietta. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Elise. I have a couple questions for you. You keep talking about the unknowns coming up into the, you know, with the after the election.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the knowns that we've got and how to deal with them. Basically, you know, with the Fed, you know, with their unlimited QE3 after they did TARP 1, QE1, and QE2, how long do you think they can continue to do that without the money being completely inflated?
Well, I'm actually sort of amazed that it's gone on this long. When the quantitative easing started, that's QE1, everybody was saying, oh, by 2011, we're going to see hyperinflation. So here we are at the end of 2012, and inflation is basically, you know, non-existent, certainly within, you know, parameters. Interest rates are the lowest they've been in 55 years. So, and we're already a year past when the hawks were out there going, oh, hyperinflation. So
it's an unknown.
It's an unknown. You think that's a known, but I think it's an unknown because I don't know how long it will go on.
You also have the Chinese, though, that just created a gold-backed security or their money 3 weeks ago, and they're not going to take our money anymore if we just keep printing it.
They're going to keep taking, they're going to keep financing us as long as we are the best bet in the world. And right now, by far, we are the best bet in the world. So you have to look around and see everybody has an opportunity cost of money, right? Whether you're a government or you're an individual investor. Everybody's got to make choices about where their money goes. And right now, the United States is the best thing going. So as long as we're the best thing going, we're not going to have trouble getting the money we need to do what we need to do. The problem is if we stop being the best thing going and there's other places to put your money that will generate either a better, safer, higher, name whatever it is that you want to name, return. That's the unknown, is when that will shift. And I don't think anybody knows that. I know I don't know it. And I don't think anybody in Washington knows it, but I know for sure right now that the United States is the best thing going. And I have said this for the entire, I think I've been filling in for Clark like 15 years. And when I started, I said, when you invest in this country, for this country, by this country, I would never bet against this country. We have amazing things that go on in this country every day. And for all of our problems, and there are problems everywhere in the world, there is no perfect country. I'd lay my money on the United States, no matter who's leading it, who's in Congress, because it's all about us. It's the people who actually make this country work, who start the businesses, who employ other people, who go to work every day for those people and work hard at their jobs. It's that spirit that I would lay my money on any day of the week. 404-872-0750 is our number. We're going to do a prize pack when we come back. Stay tuned to the Elyse Glenk Show on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglenk.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 26 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glenk Show. Thanks for listening this morning. We have our prize pack to give away, the WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack, valued, get this, $521. It includes a pair of tickets to the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's Delta Classical Series concert, November 9th at Atlanta Symphony Hall, a full house plumbing inspection courtesy of Superior Plumbing, and a synthetic oil change courtesy of Braxton Automotive. $521. Awesome. We are going to give this one away to the fifth caller. Here's the prize pack line. Don't call the regular line. Prize pack line, 404-741-0750. The fifth caller is going to get it. Be nice to Crystal. She's going to answer your calls today. And while she does, I am going to just add in that we just got a person who called the show and said that she's been listening to the show for all the years I've been doing my show and all the years that I have been filling in for Clark. And she thinks the fact that I am willing to bet on America first is the best thing I've said in a long time. So shout out to you. And I tweeted that as well. I really believe that we are now in the recovery phase. I told you at the beginning of 2012 that this would be the year the ship has turned. And we are seeing the ship turning. And it is taking a really long time because these waters are deep and treacherous. And it's not easy sailing. What we've been through is horrible. In the New York Times today is an excellent story in the magazine about the writer took a train trip, I think from New York to Washington, and he said, if you want to see the devastation of the last 5-6 years, it is along that train route, not in the big cities. It is in the small towns. It is in the pictures of the people and the boarded up shops, and it is all along the road. And I would wager to bet that it is along the same train routes going across from big city to big city across this country. But the tide has turned, and the ship is turning, and we are positioning ourselves for something new and better in 2013, 2014, 2015. I said about 8 years ago it might take a really long time to get through what we had to get through. When people were out there and they were making $500,000 loans to people making $50,000 a year, that was the low point for my money, and it just got worse from there, and now we are on our way up. 404-872-0750. We're going to take more of your calls coming up after news on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglenk.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glenk Show. Thanks for joining me today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing half the conversation, at Glenk, at G-L-I-N-K. That is my Twitter handle. And then, of course, you're going to want to join the free weekly newsletter over at thinkglenk.com. Matt joins us on the phone now with a refi question. Hey, Matt, what's your question?
Hi, Elyse. I am 8 years into a 30-year fix at 5.12.
Uh-huh.
And Chase, they keep overnighting me packages for a no-cost refi to 3.25 at 20 years.
Yeah.
And is it worth it to do that? I'm worried about all the interest I've already paid.
So let's talk about this. You have 22 years left on your loan?
Yes.
So what do I always say about a home run refinance? Number one, you lower the interest rate. So you clearly are going to do that, right, by 2 percentage points.
Right.
Number two, you're shortening your loan term by 2 years. That's 2 years of payments you don't have to make. You're managing the expense ratio, right?
Right.
Because there's no cost to this, right? They're just going to do it?
There is no cost. That's what they say.
So right now you've got 3 out of the 4. And the fourth thing is you're going to lower your payments.
But I'm worried. I asked for an amortization statement, and they didn't send it. I'm just worried, is the interest going to start all over again?
So the interest might start all over again. But if you, my sense of this is that there's a couple of things going on. First of all, if you just compared how much interest you would pay versus how much interest you have left on your current loan, it might be about the same thing. But regardless, it's not about paying more in interest. Really, it's about total payments. By shortening the loan term, I don't care if what you paid over 20 years was 100% interest as long as the loan was paid off at the end of it, right?
Right.
You're saving 2 years of payments, and the payments you're going to make are at a much lower interest rate than they were. So overall, you're going to have lower payments, pay it off faster. Overall, your payments out of pocket are going to be less. It's a good thing, what they're offering you. You should take them up on it.
Okay, well, that says... everything now is lumped in, my taxes and escrow is all lumped in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still going to be the same? Or?
Absolutely. None of that will change. What they're basically going to do is they're going to shorten the loan term, and you're going to drop down to 3.25%. And what they'll probably do is, because you have already paid off 8 years of your loan, right?
Right.
You're going to refinance at that lower amount.
Right,
so,
the refinance to me, I think it's $90,000.
Right. What did you start out at? What was your original loan for,
$110,000? $140,000.
$140,000, and you've got $90,000 left?
Yes.
So all of this is going to happen at 3.25%. If you still made the payment that you're making now, you'd probably pay off your loan in 13 years.
Okay, I guess that's what I need to hear then.
It's all good. As far as I'm concerned, this is a home run refinance for you, and you should take them up on it tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, let me know what you decide to do. 39, make it 40 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Rick joins us on the line. Hey, Rick, what's going on today?
Oh, hey, Lee. How are you?
Great. How can I help you?
Well, where my aunt wants to borrow $12,000 from my dad.
Okay.
And be coming out of two different accounts. One, I think, is a regular annuity, and another is an IRA.
And, what does she need the money for?
Oh, God, it's very sordid. her
it, life usually is very messy. It's true.
Yeah. Her adopted son, who is actually her grandson, got caught up in a scam of a guy trying to lower his interest rate.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now they need $12,000 to be able to keep him from going into foreclosure, and he's already received a foreclosure notice.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, my first problem is how in the world did he let it go this long? And second of all, I have a problem with her asking my dad for $12,000.
Well, I think your dad is, unless you are the gatekeeper to your father's finances, your father may want to do this for her. And there may be history there that you just don't understand. But as long as your dad is of sound mind, I'm not sure it matters how you feel about it. Because maybe he feels like she gave him something years ago of huge value, and this is his payback.
Well, no, actually, she said she's going to pay him back, but they also own a house together, my grandmother's house that they inherited when she died last year.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she'll let him have the extra $12,000 plus penalties and all the interest that he would accumulate on this at a 4% rate when they sell the house.
That seems very fair.
Okay. All right.
I mean, she sounds like she's trying to do something that's going to help her child, who's your father's nephew, and your first cousin, and she's found a way to pay him back without costing any more out of pocket for this out of this inheritance. It seems actually very fair. My only suggestion would be that they document it, that she write a letter and they both sign it, and this is how it's calculated. So just in case she dies and the son who's in trouble is the one who inherits it, there's actually some documentation that's going to show that your father was supposed to get this.
Right. Okay.
That's just, it's just basic protection. But you have to be, you know what, you seem so uneasy. What is it, what is your concern here?
Well, my aunt retired from a very large company, and her husband died quite a few years, and she got his retirement. And I'm trying to figure out why she needs my dad's money. How come she can't come up with the money herself?
Okay,
I know that she has a lot larger retirement than my dad does.
So you think somehow she's taking advantage of your dad?
Yeah, pretty much. And also, her child, my cousin, is living in my grandmother's old house, and we can't seem to get any information. You know, where's the rent money going to?
Is this the house? This isn't the one who's in trouble, right? This is
another
son.
Actually, her daughter, which is living in my grandmother's house that my dad and my aunt own, it's actually her son that is in trouble financially with foreclosure.
So
and my aunt had adopted her daughter's son.
Right. You're right. It's sorted.
It's very.
But that's what makes life interesting.
I could go on and on with how much more information is involved.
Well, but let's focus on what's really important. You're uneasy about this, and you're scared for your dad.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, you know, he takes out yearly minimum amounts on this to live on.
Right.
And I'm thinking if something happens to him, you know, we're not going to have the money available because, you know, my aunt is. She's never going to want to sell that house as long as her daughter's living in it.
So you have to figure out where the rent money goes. So I'm going to ask you a question, and this is sort of key. Have you and your dad sat down so you could express all of these very legitimate fears to him?
Yes, I have. And I've also included my two brothers in on this as well, and they're both against it.
Okay, and what did your dad say to you?
Well, he had already signed the paperwork before I had even found out anything about it. And
for the loan?
Yes. And,
okay.
His agent that handles these accounts actually called me the other night with this information. I didn't know anything about it. And
so what did you say to your dad?
Well, I told him how uneasy I was about this and how it just didn't sound right on quite a few levels. And that she was just trying to take advantage of him. And then, you know, I explained the ramifications of if he needed this money, then he would not be able to get it. And so he agreed with me.
Okay. But have you had a face-to-face, or you just called him on the phone?
Well, we live 350 miles apart.
Okay. But this is your dad's life.
Right.
Can you next weekend, you know, get down there and see him and have a conversation about this face-to-face? Do your brothers live nearby?
Well, yes and no. My youngest brother lives close by, but he's up in the Northeast working trying to help with the electrical power situation.
The hurricane.
There. Yes, exactly. And then my older brother lives probably 300 or so miles away as
right.
well.
But there are times in a relationship with your parents where you have to have a face-to-face.
Right.
It sounds to me like the real issue here, if you're concerned about your dad being scammed, you don't know where the money's going for the rental property, you don't know how things are titled, you don't know how your dad's going to live.
Right.
What are the plans? Does he have a will? Does his estate plan actually include all the different pieces? It sounds to me like you and your brothers, not the one who's out helping with Superstorm Sandy, but the other one, you guys need to get there and sit down with your dad and have a conversation about all of these things in a way that you just never can have it over the phone or even over Skype. You have to be there and look at the paperwork with him. And you have to see what's going on. And maybe if your aunt and her kids see you guys stepping up, they're going to step back and not take advantage of him, if that's really what's going on. And you may have to face a very difficult conversation with your dad over, Dad, how are you feeling about managing all of this? Is this getting to be too much for you? Because it could be that your dad is maybe not as well or as able to manage his finances as he once was. And if not now, maybe in soon that's coming down the line. So what happens is it's not like a switch, but maybe there are, this is a signpost that he has been confused by what's going on. You don't, and maybe you know that or you don't, but my sense of talking to you is I think you're really afraid for him.
Yeah.
And you want to help.
Yeah, I'm already his power of attorney for whenever he needs some things taken care of.
But that's not in effect yet.
Right, right. Well, I can still sign for him if I'm around and he wants me to sign something for him.
Yes, but you can't step in and prevent him being scammed.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what I was trying to, that's what I've been trying to relate to him, that, you know, that he should run things by me before he makes decisions, and he just doesn't seem to quite grasp that.
Because nobody wants to admit that their kids have become the parents.
Right.
Right? And right. That they're not capable anymore.
Right.
But you have to go and, I think you need to get there and see for yourself what's going on.
Okay. I actually have the paperwork in front of me.
Yeah, but you're not with him to go over it.
Yeah.
That's, I know, right. You're trying to not do the 7-hour drive. I get that. I get that it's a long way to go. But I'm saying to you that your father may be in danger, and being there face-to-face is going to be a different conversation. It's great that you've got the paperwork and you're reviewing it, but he already signed it.
Mm-hmm.
What has he signed that you don't know about?
Exactly.
So until you get there, you're not going to know.
Right.
And if you are the power of attorney, you can do this without your brothers, and you can, you know, have a little conversation over the phone with them, or they can Skype in or something. But I think you got to get there and see what's really going on for yourself. And you may have to make some very difficult decisions if, when you get there face to face with your dad, you realize he doesn't understand what he has signed.
Right.
I don't know that that's the case, but I'm saying, worst case scenario, your worst fears could be realized. And those are the ones deep down inside, which is that your dad shouldn't be signing anything anymore.
Right.
All right? Okay. Next weekend or as soon as you possibly can, I think you got to get there.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I'm scheduled to work next weekend as well. So
whenever your next day off is, I think you got to say, Dad, I'm flying up for a visit, or I'm driving up, or you got to get there. And I would not wait a month or two. It's too important.
Oh, definitely not.
All right, let me know what happens, okay?
Great. Thank you a lot, Elise.
You're welcome, Rick. It's 50 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. Be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
6 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. I just got a tweet at Glink. Where do you get these callers? Last guy with mortgage question. Duh, this guy's worried about his dad's money. It's not his money. You know, my feeling is kids who get worried about their parents getting ripped off are really worrying about what happens if their parents get ripped off, scammed, whatever, and the burden falls on them. And he's already his father's power of attorney. And so there's this, because the father has given him this bit of control, he's already feeling responsibility for making sure that everything goes okay. And I probably should have gotten there faster in this call, because when I realized that what he's really doing is expressing this concern, I realized that there's a much bigger thing at stake. It's possible his dad no longer has the facility to manage his money, and that is a crucial turning point in the parent-child relationship, and it happens in so many cases. I mean, you hope it doesn't happen, right? I would hate to have to take over my mother's financial life. I hope I never have to do that. But if I do, at least I know how to step in and make sure that happens, you know, correctly. when you're 350 miles away. Like, I'm 22 miles away from my mom. I can make that happen in a moment. But when you're 350 miles away and another brother's 350 miles away and the brother who lives next door is on the East Coast with Superstorm Sandy, that's really where the rubber meets the road. And so the sense of responsibility that children have for their parents, the ones that they love, who raised them. Yeah, it could be he's thinking about what he's going to inherit one day, but my sense of it is it's really about my dad doesn't have very much to begin with, and if all this money gets sucked out, we're going to have to step up. Maybe we can or we can't do that. And maybe he's getting ripped off in other places that I don't know about, but I'm supposed to know about because I am a power of attorney for him. And so all of these emotions kind of mix together, and I just think it's incredibly, incredibly difficult. I want to let everybody know that we are shooting, and we did shoot last week, all kinds of new real estate minutes, and I've got a whole bunch that are going up on my YouTube channel, Expert Real Estate Tips. I will tweet that out so that you can see what you need to think about when it comes to insurance, what you need to think about when you have these kinds of massive superstorms hit, when you are going to be making claims against your insurance. So we've got all of those coming up, really interesting stuff. So go to YouTube.com, Expert Real Estate Tips, or just go to YouTube.com and type in my name or some variation of my name, and you will quickly see that all of the Elise Glenk videos will come up, and there's just a lot there that I think you'll find very, very, very helpful. So if you're following me on Twitter, I will tweet those out in just a moment. If not, you should be following me on Twitter, at Glenk. And in the meantime, it is 59 minutes past the hour. Our time is up, and I hope you have a great week. You can hear the music now. I know I can. I will talk to you again next week. We have a big tax show next week. Be here noon next Sunday to talk to our enrolled agents with your questions. Have a good week, everybody. I wanna-